Welcome to Final Fantasy Weekly. I'm Drew Kreisman.
And I'm Ira Kreisman.
And on this episode, we have a conversation about the soundtrack of Final Fantasy Tactics, as composed by Hitoshi Sakamoto. And this is a really interesting one because this is a phenomenal soundtrack, and I love the feel and general tones that Sakamoto creates in his games. And if it's your kind of thing, like, I could totally understand why he would be your favorite composer in the franchise, or maybe ever, right? He's really, really good at doing this type of thing. I want to begin, actually, with a couple of small critiques, if only because I don't want to end on critiquing this incredible piece of work, right?
Sure.
And it's only to draw comparisons because, you know, when I talk about the greatness of Nobuo Uematsu, oftentimes people will bring up how incredible these other composers are, and they're right, but I think one of the things that you won't hear as we go through this soundtrack is the kind of diversity that you would expect to hear out of an Uematsu soundtrack. There's not nearly as many pieces as there were on the other PlayStation games. You know, there was only 42 on the original soundtrack. When it was later released, that got bumped up into the 70s, even though a lot of those are kind of extra or filler pieces. And we tend to stay mostly in the same kind of tones and sounds, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I feel like I've said similar things about Yasunori Mitsuda and the Chrono Cross soundtrack, which tends to stay in its tone as well, but it's so well done that it amounts to it being incredibly cohesive, which I think we find here on the Tactics soundtrack as well. But I do think as we go through, you'll find fewer standout extraordinary pieces the way an Uematsu soundtrack might, or like I said, that kind of wide-ranging diversity where all of a sudden, you know, Costa del Sol is a samba piece, or Otherworld is heavy metal or something like that. We're not going to be doing that.
Sure. Yeah. I wonder if that is a result of Tactics being mostly pretty focused on this one band of heroes navigating this war. Because the Chrono Trigger soundtrack shifts when we go to a new time.
Right.
Right? When we're in a new atmosphere. But you're right, there's not necessarily a, and now another world awaits you. But so yeah, on the other hand, it's not like, I mean, we talked about it, it's not like Tactics doesn't have its weird out of left field twist that we tend to expect from Final Fantasy, because actually the Templarites are all demons, and we never get, like, I don't know, Liberia Fatale or whatever, when we maybe could have. So I don't.
Sure.
I think that's fine.
Right, yeah.
But it is an interesting
observation.
Like
you've often said, it's really about a difference of kind rather than degree. You know, this is just a different way of approaching a soundtrack. This was obviously deliberate. And one of the things that I think, now getting into one of the major strengths of it, I find that most of the pieces on this score would fit very comfortably in either a medieval style world, kind of like the one we're in, or basically almost any medieval style world, especially a one where we're telling a militaristic story, and we'll get into some of the snare drums and all of that. But also, and this would be even more true of his work in Final Fantasy XII, you could put most of this right into any Star Wars, and it would feel very comfortable, right? So that's just something I want kind of all of us as we're going through here to think about, like, yeah, this is so interesting the way it fits very much with these kind of olden times, medieval stories with maybe a hint of steampunk or diesel punk or whatever. But it would also fit very, very well in the kind of space fantasy genre. And I think that's a really neat tone. And he has his own unique sound. I also think, too, when you hear a lot of this, one of the end results of the similarities is you start to be able to recognize Sakamoto's voice, so that whenever you hear one of his pieces, you go, oh, that's his language. And I think that's really, really cool. And speaking of his language. I want to start at the very beginning here. You know, I had introduced in the Final Fantasy VII episodes the idea of doing a top 40, and I thought I would do that again. And I think in the future I will. But for this particular soundtrack, just with the way that it's structured, I think we really have to start at the beginning with what I think is his best musical triumph of the whole soundtrack. It really happens right at the very beginning with two pieces that also set this weird stage for the naming of the pieces of music on this soundtrack, which are mostly pretty terrible.
Okay.
So we start with a piece that is titled Bland Logo, Title Back.
That's pretty evocative. It's like kids running through the city corner, the city square.
It's something. Bland, it's words what? In an order.
Sure. That's it. You ever see those beer commercials that talk about drinkability?
Yeah, right, right. Like,
great, you met the lowest requirement of the definition of a beer.
Literally put it down.
Bland title, what was it?
Bland logo, title back.
Title back?
I.
That's got to mean something to somebody, right? Somebody on the internet knows why it's called that.
Yeah. I'm going to call this the Zodiac Brave theme because it's beautiful and it deserves better.
I like your title better, first of all. Yeah, this is an excellent piece. I like it a lot. I like how we start kind of slow and mysterious and we're not sure what's going on. And then it has the sort of the high-pitched, the more delicate sounds.
Mm-hmm, those bells.
Yeah, and which sort of evokes the religious nature of some of the characters and some of the conflict. But also maybe the spirituality of the crystal, as Final Fantasy so often uses that symbol. And in this game, the crystals are mostly a vehicle for demons to possess people, but also, as we noted with Rafa and Marek, right, depending on the person who is able to channel that energy, it can do something else. So it evokes some of that, and then we get into the more, it's not quite a march, but it's definitely a moving forward heroic theme.
Yeah,
that is really cool.
Yeah, it starts to be almost, right? It introduces the snare drums, like I was talking about, when the hero theme finally comes big, triumphant, you know, as the logo again splashes across the screen, a lot like the Final Fantasy VII intro climax there. And those snare drums do come in and give you they always invoke that militaristic, a march almost always invokes that. And it does throughout this soundtrack and game. We'll hear it again in a few other pieces. So, yeah, I think you've got a lot of the important elements, both in the way you discussed in terms of the lighter bell tones, the mystery. It also kind of evokes to me the beginning of Beauty and the Beast. There are similar melodic qualities to the kind of chiming, you know, inviting us into a fairy tale where there are going to be myths and monsters and beliefs and crystals, like you said, but then this kind of big triumph, but it's also going to be a story of heroes and villains and a war. And it's all right there in the first piece. So not only do you get that, but you also get several of the themes that he will come back to over and over again. This soundtrack more, you know, I talked about Seven being more cinematic and more like a Hollywood score, but it's also very much filled with Uematsu melodies that get stuck in your head, and everyone has a theme, and every different place is different. Whereas this soundtrack is built much more around three or four central melodic themes that he will bring back over and over and over again to remind you who this story is about and what the major goings on are, right? To never let us get too far away from, like you talked about, the focused story. And then that piece rolls right into the next one, which really is his greatest triumph in my mind in all of his soundtracks. This is my favorite piece from his. It opens the game. We talked about it in the intros episode, and it's worth giving a deep listen again here, because again, it's, he establishes the feel of the world, the tone of the story, and the main themes of the characters that he's going to come back to and play with for the rest of the story. In what I would like to call the opening or intro, it's just prologue movie. Again, the title, prologue movie.
Okay. Sure. So is this the Running Through the Trees prologue?
Yeah, this is the Running Through the Trees movie. Prologue.
Okay, got it.
Come up with a better title in your head and listen to some of this masterpiece. Ira, I gotta stop it there for just a second and ask you about those bagpipes.
Yeah, how about that, huh? That's cool.
There's something about coming in on those, and it's wild because not a lot of it in the rest of the soundtrack. Again, we're gonna be more standard instruments of kind of European medieval, what we're used to, right? But coming in on that bagpipe is just stellar.
Yeah, I think it's pretty great. Like I said, we don't hear a lot of the bagpipes throughout the rest of the score. In fact, I can't remember any off the top of my head. But they are part of European history. I mean, if we're counting the islands, right, I assume we are.
Right, I know, it's right. People say that. What they really mean is like England and France a lot of times, right? Or Germany, sure. Maybe.
So yeah, I think it's super cool. And I think this piece also starts like the other one did, kind of low and slow, like very gentle. We're in the mists of the woods. We're not running toward the abbey yet.
Right. It's interesting that it builds up to and climaxes again on that same kind of, it's the main theme of Final Fantasy Tactics. It's just the big bum, 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 ba, da, ba, ba, bum. That's just his thing that he's going to come back to over and over again. And every time it gets me. So it works. But then he does introduce another primary theme here as, again, we come away from a big climax like at the top of a mountain with another version of the logo now that we're actually starting the game. And as Ira mentioned earlier, we get to the running through the woods section, so the tempo picks up and he introduces what I guess you would call the main action theme of the story, this kind of bump. Bum, 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 ba-dum, and it's just some of the most hype-inducing shit ever.
Something I think this track does really well is something we're taught to do in creative writing, which is to tension release, tension release. You talked about it in Musically Inclined episodes, several episodes back now, right? But like you build it up and then you ease off a bit, and then you build it up and you ease off a bit, because if your movie is go, go, go all the time, now we're back to Miyazaki's philosophy of silence, of quiet moments, right? And I think this piece in particular does a good job of that.
Yeah, it ebbs and flows remarkably. The melody is awesome, and that's why he keeps coming back to it. And it has the sort of beginning, middle, and end, and in a way I feel like the entire score does as well. As we've talked about before, a lot of video game pieces are built to loop kind of endlessly, and the vast majority of Nobuo Uematsu pieces are as well. This one is built beginning, middle, and end. It doesn't loop, and it's not meant to, right? You can listen to it twice in a row if you want, and I have. But that's another thing that I think really helps kind of set in. And there are a few of those throughout the soundtrack that definitely loop, but are built with more definitive movements, kind of beginning, middle, and end. All right. We're going to move away from the tremendously epic for a moment and sort of catch our breaths with a category of music where I feel like Final Fantasy Tactics gets a solid C+, B-.
Okay.
Because, and I'll have to admit, there are a lot of these little pieces, to go completely against what I was just saying, that are endless loops, 50-second loops, usually when you're... Sure. We're going to get into it here, but at the pub or at the store, or you're getting ready for battle, or, you know, certain little things, the data screen. And some of these are really nifty little pieces of music that I'll hum to myself and I find very pleasant. But for a quick example of one that just actually kind of grinds my gears, and I'm not 100% sure I could explain why, the main world map theme, which is one of the ones that you hear most often, I kind of can't take it.
So there is something heroic about this piece. It is... It's not quite ahead on our way, but it's, here's the big wide world. It does have that feeling to it. But I also don't spend a lot of time here.
Sure, usually when you're on the world map, you're going quickly to the next thing. And I think that is kind of the strength of a lot of these, is they're unlikely, if you're playing the game in a normal way, to overstay their welcome. So fair enough.
Yeah, I don't dislike it. It doesn't grind anything of mine. But it doesn't do a lot for me, but it does give me a feel like when I open up the world map and suddenly I've got this piece that is sort of evocative of a big wide world, I can appreciate that.
Sure. Moving kind of along that scale to one I find to be far more pleasant, but again, I won't be writing any papers about the musical genius of the data screen.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, they didn't bother again with the titles here.
Okay, excellent.
But whenever I hear it, I go, ah, yes, Final Fantasy Tactics, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure why that's the data screen music. It's nice. Right. I like it. And it's
when
got
you're saving
some depth
your
to
game.
It.
Yeah.
Right, there's not nothing to it. Like it does its thing and then it adds a little bit more and then it goes into a slightly different key, I think. Yeah, I'm not sure what this piece is doing here.
Yeah, right. And then, like I said, there are several from when you're in shops and stuff. Most of them are pleasant enough and not super memorable, I would say, except for one that I do very much enjoy, and I threw it in whenever we were like reading the rumors or whatever.
Right.
And that is the music for the pub.
I like this one. It feels like a break from, if we assume that Ramza and company are always fighting all the time, they're either fending off monsters in the forest or they're fighting against the six or seven imperialistic powers that are trying to take control of Ivalice all the time. At least they know when they go to the bar, they can put their feet up for a while. That's what this song says to me, and I do like this one. It is a bit repetitive. It doesn't go too many places, but it is nice. But I also think the data screen one is nice. I'm just not sure why that one is in that spot doing that thing. This one feels like I'm relaxing in the pub.
The last one I want to do in this category actually was the only one I could think of. When you said earlier, couldn't think of any other time there were bagpipes. There are one other that I can think of, and that is, again, during the expertly titled piece, Team Making.
Okay.
But it's just, again, that short little piece that plays before every single battle when you're making your team. So I guess it's aptly named, if nothing else.
That's not a terrible title. There's an evocativeness, a poeticism to the two-word phrase that I'm okay with. Team
Fair
making.
Enough.
Sure.
And again, for as simple as it is, and as much as with all of these, you wouldn't expect to hear them at the Final Fantasy Tactics concert or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There is, I think, an interesting anxiety and excitement to this piece that, you know, feels or sounds like preparing for battle. Oh, and actually, Team Making is another song in this category. I messed that one up because these titles are all so bad. This is actually called Attack Team. So, my bad.
Yeah, I kind of like this one too. It's vaguely militaristic. It's the suit up music, right? When Oliver Queen says suit up and we all put on our superhero costumes. I kind of dig it. It's putting together the attack team, I guess.
It sure is. And once you've put together the attack team, it's time to go out into battle, which is where the vast majority of the music on this soundtrack actually comes from. Most of, I think, the time in the game, we talked about how a lot of conversation takes place during battles, about how the battles are really long. So you as the player, your experience, you spend a lot of time there. And I think it's clear that, you know, they spent a lot of time on these pieces of music for the soundtrack. There are a lot of different pieces of battle music. And while a lot of them, again, exist in kind of a similar tone, they're worth sort of going through and listening to some of the best ones here. I want to begin with, and they are just knocking it out of the ballpark with these titles, Enemy Attack.
Yeah, there's no bass intro theme, right? There's no ba 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 ba. And that's because, like you said in the gameplay episode, those fights take, 10, 15, 20 seconds?
Right.
And these ones take 2 to 3 hours. So you're going to be hearing, sort of. And so, yeah, you need a longer, more thoughtfully paced, thoughtfully is the wrong word, but a slower paced fighting theme because this fight's going to take longer.
Yeah. I also love the way that it mirrors the two more epic pieces we talked about earlier with the slow build, the building of tension, And then its B section is just a more intense version of that main theme that we heard at the beginning. Now, instead of it sounding heroic and triumphant, and I assume there are more minor tones in here, and I'm not a musical theory expert, and I'm sure other people could break it down much better, but rather than it being ba 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 ba, you know, it's much more intense, you know, ba 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 ba, and it's a battle theme now, even though it's the same basic melody. He's adapting it, and we'll see that sort of again and again. We will also hear similar tones with those like low brass and low strings. Like he builds a lot of fun, interesting tension with those, and kind of a dark tone, especially with a lot of these battles taking place at night. And we'll hear more of that in a slightly better titled battle theme, Remnants.
Ooh. This is the spooky fight scene music, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it starts off a little more antagonistic, like the spooky mystery is out to get you. But then as we move into things a little bit, it sort of evens out, gets a little more gentle, maybe a little more on your side. And then, you know, if you fight for long enough, it goes back the other way again.
Sure. Somewhere in between the tones of those last two pieces and some of the more, oddly enough, uplifting and upbeat battle music that I want to talk about in a second is one of my favorite kind of tweeners in the early game. And a lot of this is early game battle music too, which is important to note because, as you were just talking about, there is a stillness and an ebb and flow, whereas, for example, a lot of other Final Fantasy battle music, right, it's just hits your face running and goes for 2.5 minutes and then loops, right? But we are going to build to battle music that's more immediately and constantly intense. And I think the way that these pieces work off of each other is one of the bits of genius of this soundtrack. But this is a piece, again, we're grading on a curve with an excellent title, Desert Land.
Thank you. Yeah, this one doesn't strike me as hard as some of the others. I like it. Uplifting battle music? Kind of.
Right.
It starts kind of mellow and then it gets up into the more intense bits, but this is one that I don't think about near as much when I think about this soundtrack.
Fair enough. I think for me, it kind of goes back to that thing I was talking about before with the Star Wars feel, where I feel like this one, when it gets to its big epic climax, has that kind of swashbuckling through adventurous lands and, like you said, uplifting battle or adventure music or whatever, that I find it hits me in the right way, but could totally understand if it's something that anyone else listening to and it just kind of floats over, because there's a lot of battle music in this game. Some of it's going to stand out, some of it won't. I'll be curious then to see, because this was one that I found myself going back and forth on, battle music that exists in a similar, or again, it's not like this hyper intense or like revving up the energy battle music, called A Chapel. A Chapel, not The Chapel, just A Chapel.
I wonder if one of the reasons, well, I mean, we already kind of talked about this, that it can't be as intense as the other kind of Final Fantasy battle music, because it's going to play for longer. But I wonder if it's meant to not be as intrusive, to not get you as amped up.
Right.
And so it's intentionally a little more chill in a lot of ways, a little more contemplative. You're thinking about your moves. You're thinking, do I want to get up on this step so I've got a 75 right. versus a 72% chance to hit him? But then that puts my back to this other guy. But then it does remind you a little way in that, yeah, actually, this is a fight. A lot of these also sort of hint at the mystery we were talking about before, right? Like, what's really going on? Fog in the woods. So I can appreciate that as well. I do like this piece. I think it's neat to listen to, just to listen to it.
Yeah, it's remarkably pleasant, and it just has that. Its climax is one of my favorite of all these. Again, he's building in a similar way, where it's just very pleasant sounds, tension building, tones establishing a moment, and then almost out of nowhere, it's ba 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 da da ba 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 ba, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm fighting a battle. Like, yeah, this is cool. And then I think my favorite one of these, where again, it's like uplifting, almost happy and joyous battle music from early in the game. And again, it's because it totally reappropriates the main theme, which the first couple times we heard it is, you know, almost melodramatic and heroic. Ba, 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 ba. And now with these sort of random encounters with just like the less scary beasts from the beginning of the game, we have this theme that's very ba 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 la ba 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 la ba ba da ba da ba. And it is titled Random Waltz.
what an interesting choice for battle music.
Right.
I mean, I would not, if I were just listening to this having no idea, I would not say that's battle music. That might be overworld music or adventure music in some way, but not battle music, and yet here we are. And so that's pretty cool. You know, I can't remember if we said this in the gameplay episode or not, but you don't spend any time wandering around the overworld map like you do in other Final Fantasies or other Final right. Fantasies up till now. You don't spend any time wandering around towns. You can go to the pub or the recruitment station or like one other spot, the item store, right? But that's basically it. So yeah, they had to put all their other kinds of music that might have gone into those places into the battle, because that's where you're in the environment.
Right.
And so yeah, there's just more different kinds of battle music, and it's got to be a little more chill. It's got to be more about the tactics than the ba 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 ba.
Right. That said, there are a few more intense battles, especially the deeper you get into the game and the more serious the politicking and backstabbing gets. And we get to some of my more favorite pieces of battle music. Some do play a little earlier in the game, including this one, which I think actually has the worst title of all of them. Talking about kids run through the city corner. How about Run Past Through the Plane?
I don't know what that means.
I need a judgment here. You teach the children books and stuff.
Yes. Yes, I do that.
Run Past Through the Plane. Like if that book showed up at your library and on its cover it said Run Past Through the Plane.
Plane like PLAIN? Like
that's correct.
Like a flatland. Run Past. I would assume a translation error of some kind.
Yeah.
Run Past Through the Plane.
Yeah.
Huh.
So the strings in this are just stellar. The build at the beginning is similar to some of the other pieces we've listened to, but obviously a bit more intense. And then when it gets into its primary melodies, they're just so intimidating, yet there's this kind of badass factor to it of like we're doing something incredibly dangerous, but we're also doing it well. That I just find, yeah, that the way that this one builds and particularly some of its string movements, when I heard some of the way Final Fantasy VII Remake was done in that soundtrack, particularly its battle music, there were a couple of sweeping string things that reminded me particularly of this piece, and I thought it was just beautiful. That this for me is some of the best, again, of that language of Sakamoto, and I can just hear him in this piece so much, and I love it, even though it's just, again, a random piece of battle music with a terrible name. Staying in that tone and referencing old Final Fantasy, but in a very Final Fantasy Tactics-like way, doing it not quite so big and melodramatic. Instead of having a battle on a big bridge, Ira, we just have a battle on a bridge.
Sure.
Let's not overdo it, you know.
I mean, if you had a big bridge in this game, it would just take forever for the characters to get to each other. Because we all got to take our turns.
Way too big.
I feel like we're slowly amping up the intensity. This is a cool piece. I like it. This is reserved for the more intense battles, the more storyline important uh-ohs that are going on, you know?
Yeah. I feel like this is really where we're getting into, like if we were making the movie, we've talked about this several times, or the epic, you know, HBO television show with a budget befitting it. This is the type of piece that would play as the giant battles are gathering and as the leaders are yelling their speech, you know, every man to the last, or whatever you say in those moments. And it's just got that kind of, as you said, ramping up, hyping upness to it. It's reusing both of the main themes from the game. So you've got kind of the hero theme and the subtle undertones of the dark theme, or the action battle, as you said, scary moment, big moment themes, and it's all kind of clashing together in this one piece, and I absolutely love it. All right, three more pieces of battle music that stand out to me as being above the rest, and again, a lot of battle music, obviously, as we've gone through. I warned you. So the first of these three I want to touch on is maybe the most popular piece of battle music, or even really music from this game. I see it a lot when I ask people questions on Twitter or whatever, and it's always been one that stuck out to me. And again, it's hard to tell why, because it's doing a lot of the same things that all the battle music we've listened to so far have done. But there's something about Trisection. Even its name is better. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just good. There's something about this piece.
This is another one that does a good job of building the tension and then building it some more and then building it some more. There's not a lot of easing off in this one. Like,
yeah.
You know, we talked about with some of the other pieces earlier. There's a little bit, right? It's not all tension all the time, but it's more tension than we normally get or than we have been getting, right? So I think that's pretty cool. It's a good trick to pull off.
Yeah, and there's something about the unique rhythms and movements to it, you know, just listening and trying to figure out what about it sets it apart. There's just, I think it's kind of what you were getting at there. It just does not let you go, and it sticks in you, and it has that constantly driving forward pressure. And especially when you're doing that during a battle, it can really stay with you. And so, yeah, it's a great piece. I really enjoy it. But my personal favorite bit of battle music from this game is the decisive battle. We'll be right back.
The Decisive Battle. I feel like I've heard that title somewhere before.
Right.
This is a cool piece, and I know I've said that a lot this episode. It's a music major, technical term, right?
Sure, right. Yeah, cool piece.
So, I like that this one builds the tension. I think we talked about before where sometimes the soundtrack is not on the side of the heroes, right? Like, sometimes the soundtrack chants the name of the big bad guy.
Sure.
This one feels like it's warning our heroes. Like, you've got to be careful.
Yeah.
You know, make your decisions wisely. Watch out for yourself. And it delves back into the, you know, it builds attention and builds attention, and then it sort of delves back into that mystery.
Yeah.
The pacing, the timing is all something to be aware of in this game and in this story and in the soundtrack. And so I like that it echoes all of that again, but is definitely decisive. It's, if I may quote myself from earlier, this is a cool piece.
It's a cool piece, yeah. Yeah, I have to agree. And you're right, I think, to hone in even actually on that word decisive. It feels very endgamey. This feels like a battle after many battles. It feels like tired warriors fighting each other to the very, very end, which is what it accompanies. But yeah, it's kind of amazing. Again, if you've followed that whole journey, right, you... very different from the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, you know, the random waltz or the desert music or whatever that felt very uplifting. This was completely different tone, even though it's still battle music. And finally on the battle music, before we wrap up with character themes, is what I think is the most interesting piece of music and the best argument against what I was talking about earlier in terms of a kind of lack of diversity. A lot of these have used the same instruments and existed in the same kind of timbre as opposed to tone, where it's like we can talk about tone being happy or sad or angry or anxious and some of those things, right? But when you're using a lot of the same sounds, then they might be playing different notes, happier notes, but the instruments are basically the same and not going outside of a certain comfort zone. But with the very final piece of battle music we hear in the game, and there's a variation on it, but I'm just going to play the one that kicks it off for the, because the final battle comes in multiple stages. But Ultima, the Perfect Body, is better named than most of these pieces.
That is an excellent name, yes.
And compared to everything we've listened to, I'm going to use another technical musical term on you. Really weird. Yeah, just more hectic and chaotic. The rhythms were a bit stranger. A couple of instruments we hadn't heard before, like a tambourine, and some of those bass instruments are subtly different. The strings are still strings, but with a different tone. There's like some synths in there that are almost evoke like Final Fantasy VII for a minute. So it's really, really cool. Unfortunately for me, that piece doesn't go too many places, so It's not, you know, my favorite, and it doesn't stand up to things certainly like One Winged Angel or The Extreme or some of these incredible Final Fantasy Final Battle pieces. But it's, I like that it's just so tremendously bizarre and out of nowhere compared to what we've been listening to. You're just like, what about? You're like, okay. That's fair enough, I guess. All right, let's end on some character and or main themes. And with this section, I want to begin with the middle brother, Zalbog.
The theme of somebody who's very comfortable in their own power.
Yeah.
It's a very comfortable piece, right? It doesn't go outside its lane. It just is what it is. It's nice to listen to. It moves right along. It's got stuff to do. Yeah. The theme of somebody just following orders, perhaps.
Right. You know, when I was listening to it on this most recent go-round, it actually invoked for me a very similar piece of music that plays in the very first episode of Game of Thrones, when Robert Baratheon comes to Winterfell. King Robert Baratheon, I should say. So the king has come, and there's all of the pomp and circumstance, and everyone's standing out in the street, and you know, this music is playing that sounds very much like Zalbog's theme of, like you said, it's just like everyone's doing the prim and proper thing. And of course, we know there's all this stuff going on underneath the surface that is backstabby and all of this other stuff, right? And I do think we get a few hints of dark undertones here in Zalbog's theme. If you've played the game for the first time and you're hearing it, you might go, oh, what a heroic and noble knight who has a heroic and noble knight's theme, because he does. But similar to that, where you go, oh man, but none of these people are clean. None of these people are particularly heroic and noble just because they come to town wearing a white cloak and the trumpets are sounding, you know. On the flip side, we have his sister, Alma.
Does that melody echo the melody from the Zodiac Brave theme that we listened to first off?
Yeah, it's the hero theme, but lighter and happier and filled with all of these frills that make it sound joyous and wonderful instead of intimidating and scary or heroic and brave. It's just lovely now, isn't it?
It's possible to be a hero and not punch anybody, I guess.
Indeed.
If She-Hulk taught me anything, it's that you right. can choose your own ending. Oof. There are some bros mad about that, man.
Yeah, there were. Someone who might have rewritten her ending, if she could have, whose theme is also a bit lighter and not about punching people, is, of course, the princess, Ovelia. Thank you.
This is another theme that's a bit gentler. We talked last episode about how this game is kind of is interested in gender and gender differences and gender norms in some ways. So, kind of interesting, but also potentially problematic depending on the decision made around those expectations and norms. Do the women in this game all get lighter, gentler themes?
I think so. I'm not sure if Agrius has her own theme. There might be some that are more associated with her, but I have never found one specifically.
Interesting. So I don't know that that's necessarily good or bad, but if I'm correct in that the female themes, the feminine themes are all gentler and lighter, that could be, and just an interesting observation, it could be a deliberate choice by the game makers, either to suggest that women are lighter and gentler, which I think we know the game knows is not true, but that maybe in this world where women are so often pawns of, think about Ovelia, think about Alma and Titra, even Rafa, Agrius to some degree, Valmafra, none of them get to be king, right? And even the queen, Ovelia, doesn't end well. So I wonder if it's maybe as much a comment on the grossness of some of these dudes who just keep seizing power and grinding the peasantry into dust.
Yeah, I think that's actually perfectly segues us into the last two specific character themes. There are a couple other pieces that you could argue, and we'll talk about that in a second, but let's compare, because we just heard Alma and Ovelia, and I think you're right, it could, and oftentimes in Final Fantasy, they kind of walk up to that line, right, of maybe trying to make the comment, but then falling into the trope where you're presenting all of your women as more docile. We talked about how it's really unfortunate that Alma, for example, doesn't get to fight along in the final fight. But the fact that these two pieces of music that we just listened to are such breaths of fresh air and are so unwarlike and intense compared to, say, Dice Darg's theme and Delita's theme, which are filled with these undertones of darkness that I think really get at what you're talking about when you compare them. Sure, the women may not be as three-dimensional as we would like, especially through a modern lens, but it's made very clear that, especially through these musical themes, that they are in the right, and these dudes, well, just listen to Dice Darg's theme. Mostly do see him being, you know, secretive and conniving right away. The first time we hear this theme, I think, is in that first meeting with Larg. So we know that they're up to something. But man, if ever there was a giveaway that older brother was more than just up to something, but a bad guy, if you will allow for such black and white terms. Yeah, this is the theme of a villain. This is clearly a guy who's plotting and scheming and doing things in the dark, and being a villain without being a villain on the surface, which is sometimes even scarier. It's all in the undertones and the bass that's going on in this piece, and you just, yeah, that is an intense piece of music for a guy at the beginning of the story. You're like, oh, it's our older brother.
Yeah. I sure hope family dinner is smooth.
Right. And then, and I love this theme so much, and it plays in so many of these in-between scenes where you're not sure 100% how to feel about what's going on or how to feel about, indeed, the character it is for. And that is the very conflicted Delita.
This theme is contemplative and it is deliberative and it is slowly realizing what a fucked up world we live in.
Yeah.
And that if we're going to make any difference anywhere ever, we're going to have to be just as fucked up.
Okay. Understood.
How much of those were music theory terms?
Yeah, I think all of them, I believe.
Okay, all right.
So then we wrap up with a few other pieces, and you may be wondering, well, what about Ramza? Surely Ramza has a theme, and he arguably does, and you've arguably heard it several times already. There is a piece titled Hero's Theme, which is the most pared-down version of this primary theme that we've heard several times, but this is the one that I think goes with Ramza and gives you that isolated tone of someone who feels like it's just them and they have no idea who they can trust. And like you just said, this whole world is totally screwed up. So what do I even do? But I don't stop being a hero.
So is that whole theme just replayed on the harp there? Is the harp Ramza's instrument? Because that'd be very Irish, which
sure
is pretty
would.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot like Edward's theme being just on the lute, right? Or harp. It's similar.
Yeah, it's, again, contemplative, slow, deliberate, thinking about the next move. But whereas Dalida's thinking about the next move in order to burn it all down, Rams is thinking about the next move to try to protect just this small group that he's got with him. Because what else can you do?
That's it for this episode. Thank you for listening, and thank you to everyone who's reached out to us. Feel free to let us know what we missed, got wrong, or should have mentioned by hitting us up on Twitter at FFWeeklyPod. And of course, we can always keep these conversations going right here on the Patreon or in the Discord. Remember that for more content, including Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, most specifically Rings of Power and Andor right now, you can check out patreon.com/DC Productions. Join us next time as we begin to conclude our conversation on Final Fantasy Tactics. Here
Other
we go.
Than Sid's run through the kitty corner.
You're Sid run through a kitty corner. Damn it. No, I'm going to have to keep that in, you asshole.
Right. You could stinger it if you wanted.
What?
You could stinger it. You could
Oh, right. I could do that, yeah.